Morning, Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov. Today's daf is Yivam's daf, Kuf Tes Vav. Yivam's Kuf Tes Vav. We left off right by the new parak on Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. Zok the Mishnah, we have to go a little faster, both for Shchedesh and we are a little bit behind. Zok the Mishnah. Hei Shal Chihiu Baal Nidaz Yam. A woman who left with her husband overseas. Shalom Meinah Vena Vishalom Be'aylam. If there's peace between him and her, meaning there's no known to us, we don't know that there's a strife between the husband and wife, and there's peace in the world. Ubav Amran, she comes back and she says, Meis Baali, my husband died. Tinase, she's believed to test if her husband died and she can remarry. Similarly, Meis Baali, she says my husband died and there were no children and the husband had a brother, then the halacha is Tisyabim. She's believed and therefore she can even do Yibim to her husband's brother. So she's believed in those cases. However, Shalom bin Elevina, Umulchama Bailam. If there was peace between him and her, but there's a Umulcham in the world, or Ketata bin Elevina, there was strife between them, Vishalom Ma'ilam, and the world of peace. Either one of these two, whether there was fighting between the husband and wife, or fighting in the world, in both those cases, Ubas Ramar, based on she comes back and says, my husband died, ain't in a menace. So it's very understandable if there's fighting between her and her husband, and she comes back and says, my husband died, she's not believed, because we know there already was issues. She had reason to try to get herself out of this marriage in the first place. The husband may be alive and well overseas, and she's just trying to exit the marriage. That we understand. Why should it play a role if there is fighting in the world, if between him and his wife, there's peace. Who cares if there's fighting in the world? The idea is because in that case, it's not the pshat that we think she's outright lying. We're concerned that there's mechama. The husband was involved in the mechama. He was wounded, and she thinks he died, but he didn't really die. She just assumed the worst. He was in battle. She heard or saw he was wounded, and she took for granted that he's dead, even though he's not dead. So that's the concern over there. So again, if there's shalom between him and her and in the world, she's believed to say her husband died. If there's shalom in the world, but not between husband and wife, or vice versa, shalom between husband and wife, but not in the world, then we're going to say she's not believed. That is the Tanakhama. Rebita Eimer, La'ilam in Lemenes, Elim Kim Basa, Beicha, Begdekurim. Rebita comes along and says, she's never believed unless she comes in. It has to be the circumstances are showing that same idea. She has to come back with torn clothing and she's crying. Otherwise, we can't believe that her husband died. Amr Le'i Chum Seter. Rebita, no, Achasu, Bachasu Terase. In both cases, whether she's showing these simanim with the ripped clothing or crying, or whether she's not outwardly showing such signs of mourning, either way, she's believed to get remarried. Fine. Now, there's basic diak in our Mishnah. The Gemara has brought the Mishnah to spot the question, but there's a basic diak in our Mishnah. The Mishnah started off saying that when they went to Midas Yam and there's peace between husband and wife and peace in the world, but not no Muhammad, then she's believed. Sounds like if the stamias, meaning stamias would be, we don't know that there's peace, but we don't know that there's battle. Sounds like stamias, we would be concerned. Even if we don't know that there's battle, we'd be concerned. Only time we believe her is if we know there's peace between husband and wife, and we know there's peace in the world. That's what the ratio sounds like. But then the Sefer says the opposite. If there's fighting between husband and wife, or fighting in the world, then she's not believed. Sounds like stummius, the in-between case, where we don't know there's fighting, but we don't know that there's shalom, we don't know there's peace, then she would be believed. So the inference of the ratio and the inference of the Sefer seem to conflict. Answers the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't ask the question, but the Gemara just spells out for us the answer. Tana shalom bein elavina, bishem tekabaylam isti ketata bein elavina. And tana shalom bein elavina, bishem tekabaylam isti mecham baylam. The Gemara points out that when the first line of the Mishnah says, when there's shalom between him and her, she's believed, or shalom in the world, she's believed, it doesn't come to me tell you to infer from there that if we're not sure that there's shalom, don't believe her. No. It was just starting off that way for symmetrical purposes, because the Sefer is going to say, when there's no shalom between husband and wife, don't believe her. When there's no shalom in the world, don't believe her. So therefore, the ratio side, when there is shalom, you do believe her. But even if there isn't known shalom, even if it's the stamias, where it's in between, where we're not sure there's shalom, but we're not, as far as you know, there's no mechava, she would also be believed. Okay. Amar Rava, my time. So what's that kind of pshat that during mechava, My time is the Muhammad. What's pshat that by Muhammad we don't believe the wife? What's unique about Muhammad? Just because there's war in the world, what does that do with him and her? So we already spoke out when we read the Mishnah. We should the Amr B'dami, because she'll say in a scenario which seems to be that he's dead, and she's going to say he's dead. The first point, a very important detail here, it's not the part that we're assuming she's lying. In a case where there's a fight, we're concerned that maybe she's lying. In a case where there's a fight between husband and wife, I should say. In a case where there's Muhammad in the Veld, it's not a concern that we don't trust her in the sense that she may be lying. We don't trust her that maybe she may be inaccurate by mistake. She might say, but the dummy, that which appears to be that he died, she's going to claim he died, even though it wasn't true. Sa'akadayat b'chani dikvil hu'palat. She thinks to herself, all these people were victims of this battle, and my husband got saved. He escaped somehow. The whole battalion, the whole group was killed out. She assumes he's dead as well. So she's testifying that he's dead. She really believes he's dead. She's not trying to make up a story. But the bottom line is, we can't trust that she herself really verified that he was dead. Even if you're going to say that since there was shalom between him and her, she would wait to see him dead, meaning you're going to say, no, she's not just going to assume he's dead. Since there's shalom between them, she's going to really make sure the husband's dead before she moves on, because we're talking about a situation where husband and wife are at peace. The mother says, no, we're still concerned because maybe she'll have seen that he was hit with an arrow, he was hit with a spear, she'll have seen that he was hit. She'll see that he was hit in battle, but she's going to think that he never survived, not realizing that maybe the medical staff or the people in the battle, they were able to rescue him and save him, and he's still alive. There are those that put on this samadri, some sort of a dressing they used to put on the wound, and they survive, so she's not going to realize that it's possible that he survived even after being hit in battle. Savar Rav Lemeimer, Ravain in Kabuchom. Somewhere now is going to compare a few cases to battle. Rav thought to say that a hunger is not like Muhammad. Meaning, if she comes back and says, by a hunger, my husband's dead, over there, you don't have this concern that the dummy, that which appears to be death, she said he's dead, and therefore we can't trust her. By a hunger, if she comes back and says he's dead, then we can believe that she's dead. Says, my dilemma of a dummy, by a hunger, Rav thought to say that the wife is not going to testify the husband died on the basis of what seems to be that he died, but rather only if actually the husband was dead. Hadam Rav, the Rav then said, he switched it. Ravan Arek Mechama, Ravan is like Mechama, a hunger is like a wartime where we cannot believe the Isha, again, not because we think she's lying, but because we think she's just conjecturing that he died, but it didn't, because she saw circumstances leading to that event, that he died, that he would have died, but not that she actually saw him dead. And why did Rav change his mind? Because of a story. Tahida Asla Kamei Rava, this woman came from Rava. Amrle Bali Meis Barav. She said, my husband died in hunger. Amrlas, Rav said to her, this was a test. Rav said to her, Shabra Avda the Shafs of the Navshach. You did smart that you left your husband and saved your life by running away from the place there was a hunger. Meaning, Rav was testing her to say that you left before your husband died. You didn't wait it out till he died. You left early just to escape the place where the hunger is. Would it even be possible really with that little amount of life that he had left when you left? That little amount of flour that you left him in the state of starving, is that enough that he's going to have survived? Obviously, he couldn't have survived. He for sure died after you left, but you were smart for escaping and not staying in the famine-stricken area. But what do you see? Rav was testing her that she had left before they actually died, even though she was testifying that her husband was dead. Amar Leh, she said to Rav, Amar Nami Yada Dechia Gavna Leichai. She said, I see Rav also understands that in such a scenario, there's no way the husband could have lived. Meaning, she was mighty that she taka left before he actually died, and she was happy that Rav was tricking her, but Rava, in her understanding, was acknowledging the fact that her husband for sure was going to die, even if he hadn't died yet. What do you see? That she admitted she left before the husband died, and she still claimed he was dead. She really believed it. She believed he was dead, but the bottom line is, that's not a testimony that can be accepted, because we don't know for sure. Maybe somebody was saved. And therefore, Rava switched and said, Ravain, hunger is the same as Mechama, and we can't trust the Isha, because we're scared that Bididami, she's going to say about what appears to be already dead, what appears to be that he's going to die, that he already for sure died. Hadam Rava.
So what yes. Rava is that if she says, I was there in the hospital and I saw him dead, and then I saw him, I buried him.
Yeah, let's go further. Okay. Yeah, you're right. There's a Misa Shalash in Surah. Let's see. Rav, Hadam Rava, Ravain Graham Muhammad. Then Rava said, hunger is actually worse than Muhammad. De'ilu Muhammad, Kiyama Meis, Bali, Ba Muhammad, Hudlem Hemna. By Muhammad, when she not believed? She claims her husband died and war. She's not believed because we say that the husband was hit by an arrow, by a spear, and she didn't stick around. Because it's wartime, she was scared, she ran away. She thought for sure he died, and meanwhile, he's still alive. Ha, Mace Amitasai Mehemna. But even in wartime, if the wife was to say he died on his bed, meaning not a Mechama, the only time she's running away and not seeing him dead is because he was hit by a spear. It's the middle of battle. She's not going to hang around over there. And therefore, she didn't see that he actually died. But if she claims that he died peacefully in his bed, even though it's the middle of a Mechama, she would be believed, because over there, it's not an issue of believing her. again, that she's lying on purpose. It's an issue of trusting her that she's being accurate. So if she says he died in his bed, so meaning of a sickness, even though it's a mechama, she's claiming he died in the bed of a sickness. Of course, she's believed. Whereas when it comes to Ravoy, when it comes to hunger, she wouldn't believe to say that he actually died until she says he died and I buried him. I buried him. But the point is, she has to testify that he mamish is 100% dead. I know he's. I saw he's dead. So similar to the idea of her testimony, she actually buried the husband. Meaning, by Ravine, there's more of a concern that she's overestimating the quickness, the fact that he for sure died faster than he actually died. We're more concerned by Ravine than by Muhammad. The concern is a very specific concern. She saw he was hit in battle. She saw he was hit by some sort of a weapon. So she assumed he died from that wound. But as long as the case is not that, meaning where she makes it clear that she knows the husband died in his bed, nothing to do with the battle, that she'd be believed by Ravayan, by hunger. We have to have more than that because we're concerned that she's assuming the worst even before it happened. So Ravayan would actually need more testimony than the case of Muhammad. So Rava again, Muhammad we said she's not believed. That's our Mishnah. Rava first thought to say that Ravayan she is believed. Then Rava said Ravayan she's also not believed from a story he had with a woman. He said Ravayan's not believed. The same way Muhammad's not believed. And then he said actually Ravayan may actually need more. Okay. But you see this idea, and Liza, this is what you're getting to a minute ago, that if she testifies that he's lying in the bed and that he's dead, nothing to do with the battle, or even do with the Muhammad, if she testifies that he died of other causes outside of Ravine, look over there, it's clear that she would be believed, like you were saying, Anachrami. Okay. Zakli more further. Mapilas, next scenario. A building never collapsed. It's about the 1 year anniversary of that terrible story in Surfside. When a building collapsed, that's like a machama where the wife may say he's dead without even seeing him dead based on what seems to be true to her. She's not lying, but she's conjecture that he's already dead, even though he wasn't. Similarly, if snakes or visit, or scorpions come, and shiloh means like they were sent, they kind of visit upon, they come and ascend upon the people. Again, there too, we're concerned she's going to assume the husband's dead, even though it didn't really happen yet, so she thinks she's saying the truth, but she can't be believed. Dever, what about a plague? So we're saying that Mapilas, a fallen building, or a shiloh, nechashim, is like mechama, and we're concerned that she's making assumptions, and she's assuming the husband's dead when he's not. Whereas Deborah, we have a machlekes. Some say it's like mechama, and we actually can't trust her. And some say it's not like mechama. The Mar explains, "I'm a lareka mechama, dami b'dami." Some say it's like mechama because she says, "But that which seems to be the truth." Meaning, there was a Dever going around. She saw the husband caught the Dever. Most people at the Dever died. She assumed the husband died as well, even though she didn't see him dead, and therefore we have a concern. Some say no, Dever's not a mechama, because she, the woman, the wife, will be samech on that which people say. As follows, Sheva Shnin Have Meisna Vinish Pleshani Le'azil. 7 years there could be a plague, but a person who didn't have a ticket that he's supposed to die with the plague, he'll still live. The idea is that even when Nebuch, a plague is going around, even a Magif is going around, people can, you never know who and why, but someone who wasn't, for whatever reason, destined to die of the plague, he can live through many people around him dying for the plague, and it won't affect him. So that's just expression people used to say. So too, this Isha, she's not going to assume a husband for sure died of the plague unless she actually saw him die, not just because she's going to assume the worst, and therefore, according to this opinion, she would be believed by a plague to say the husband had died. So, Adamar has a shayla on these dinim. Hechzika hib mechama bailam. What if she's the one that told us there was a war out there in the world? I mean, we didn't know, and it's hard to fathom these days because of technology and communication of information, but for sure, even today it could be possible, for sure, back in the day. They left town, they went overseas, and she comes back and says, there was a war and he died. Without her, we wouldn't have known there's a war. So do we say now, since Migu, had she not said that there was a war, we didn't only know there's a war from her. She's believed to say there was peace between her and her husband. She's believed to say her husband died, and then she's believed, therefore she's believed even if there's a war. Or no, once she notified us there's a war, she's no longer believed. Says the Gemara, Mahu. Miyamina Mala Shakar, do we say she has like a Migu? Mala Shakar, right? Mala Shakar means, What reason would she have to lie? Which really means more like if she was a liar, she could have said a different, a better lie. She could have left out the story of the war. She could have just said the husband died. On top of Kuftas Ramanav, she could have said there was peace in the world and the husband died. Since there it's been a chazaka that she may say based on what she thinks happened, a presumption, even though it didn't actually happen, therefore Mal HaShakar can't come help and get rid of that chazaka that she says about what may have happened that already happened, and therefore we still won't believe her. That is the shayla. The first one asked the obvious gasha, the bomb gasha, the lechera, what should Migu help over here? What's Migu going to help? We've been very clear. It's not a case over here. Migu is the pshat that if a person says, if I was a liar, I would have said a better lie. I had other tainas that could have got me, achieved to me the same goal, the same outcome, and I would have believed the other tainas, so believe me with this taina. Over here, again, the Migu is, I could have just left out the fact that it was a Ishas Mechama, could have just said my husband died, I would have been believed, so believe me now, even though I'm saying it's Ishas Mechama. That's all great when the question is, if we think she's lying. If we're concerned she's lying, so Migu says, if I'm a liar, I'd be a better liar. If I'm a liar, I would have said a better lie. The concern over here is not that she's lying. The concern over here is that she's making presumptions. She's assuming the husband was dead, even though he wasn't, and she's declaring him dead even before it was 100% foolproof. That assumption is the pshat. We believe that she believes she's saying the truth. We believe that she, as far as she knows, she is saying that she's not lying. She just doesn't realize the facts herself. If that's the case, what does Migu help? Bam Kasha, Taisvis, Rashba, Ritva, all this Kasha, what does Migu help over here? Migu normally gives an amanis that if I'm a liar, I would have said a better lie. No one's assuming she's a liar outright. She's just making a mistake. So the Rishonim answer, similar answers, but we'll go with Taisvis. And the question is actually even stronger. Because if Migu helps, then go back to really what Liza, you pointed out before. Liza pointed out before that if she claims that the husband died on Mitasai, even a Mechama, she's believed. That's what Rabbi said just a couple lines ago. If she claims Amitasa and Muhammad, she's believed. So every time there's a Muhammad, let her be believed in the Migu. I'm telling you, he died in the battle with a battle wound. But believe me, what I'm saying is true, because I could have said he died in his bed. Meaning, you have Migu in every case. She always should be believed. Alamai, we don't say that, like we're saying, because it's not an issue of believing her. It's an issue of more of trusting her, if that makes sense. It's not an issue of believing her as whether she's a liar or not a liar. It's an issue of trusting whether she's accurate or not. Says answers, Taisvis, Ritva, and Rashba say similar, that over here, Taka Migu means something else. Migu doesn't mean the regular Migu of nemanis, of trusting that she's not a liar. That was never an assumption. But the concern over here is the accuracy of the information. So yes, the shaila is, when she's giving us added information that we didn't know, maybe that strengthens her case as someone that the information she's giving is accurate. The fact that there's additional information, and in this case, and sometimes even if she adds information, maybe besides from Muhammad, other information that may not even be necessary, but other details, the more details she adds and the more info she can give us, gives us a better picture that what she's saying is accurate, because she's giving us more. The whole question here is a matter of information. The more information she gives us, the more maybe of an amanus we have of trusting the accuracy of what she's saying. Or no, we still have the issue of the chazaka that she's going to make it up, not she's going to assume, and therefore we can't trust her. That's the shayla. Tashima. Let's bring a raya. Ishino Linabayas. The woman came and said, there's a fire. They set our house on fire, and my husband and I was in the house. I escaped. He didn't. Who made fighting difficulty? He unfortunately died, and I was able to be saved. Halachas in a minute. She's not believed. Now over there, we didn't know that they set fire to the house. She's telling it to us. So that's essentially like her telling us there was a Muhammad that we didn't know about. And she's saying that he didn't survive and I did. And she's still not believed. She's not believed because we assume that she assumes the worst. And she doesn't know that she didn't really see for sure that he was dead. So the chair we see, even when she gave us this extra information, she's still not believed. Mar says, no. Shani Hasam, Tarminala, Kech, the Dachas Rachashnisa, the Namasachashnisa. Over there is different because she got out of the house one way. The house is set on fire. And she escaped. They tried to set the house on fire to destroy these people, to harm these people. Yet she escaped somehow. The same way she escaped somehow, maybe he escaped a different way. The same way Yeranes, maybe Shiranes. And therefore over there, in that particular case of the bias, even we trust to get exactly what she's saying. But she doesn't know for sure the husband's dead. She basically admitted, she said, I escaped the house, he didn't. And if he didn't escape the house, he's dead. Maybe he did escape the house, and she doesn't know about it. And therefore, that's why she's not believed that he's dead. But that wouldn't be right to our case, by Muhammad, then maybe she would be believed. Tashima. Nafalin Avichavim. If she says that Goyim came upon us, Nafalinu, listen, Robert came upon us, who made Vinitzalti, he died and I was saved. Nemenes, she's believed over there. So she introduces the war, so to speak, the war is the Listim, the robbers, or the Goyim that came to attack us. She notified us about this lack of peace, and she is believed. So the Chara, we have a Raya. Now when she's the one notifying us about the war, she would be believed, so it's a Raya that to that side of the Shaila. Answers Gemara, no. Haskat Rav Edi, over there we can say the title of Edi, the Amar of Edi said elsewhere, Isha Kli Zayin Aleha. A woman has her weapons on her. Rashi explains what this means is a woman has weapons on her. The captors or the listim or the goyim that came upon them, they don't want to harm the woman because they want to have her for tashmish. They want to have relations with her. So she always has that power to either to seduce the enemy or to at least be saved because the enemy wants to have their way with her. So therefore, she is not concerned. She didn't run away from the enemy. She feels comfortable. She feels safe by the enemy. And therefore, she'll be there till then to see that they actually, unfortunately, they killed the husband. She'd be around for that. It's a normal scenario. So we could trust her. As opposed to a regular Mahama, we're concerned that she saw the husband get hit by a spear or by a sword and didn't see him die. And she's still claiming he's dead. But over here, we assume she sticks around till the end. That's the understanding from Rashi. The first one, Bada Barashi, that what do you mean? She's not going to run away if she can, because she knows she can save herself by using her body. Please, Zayin Aleha, that's a simple, typical type, what she's saying. But isn't that all the more reason to run away? She doesn't want to be violated by these people, so she may have ran away. Unfortunately, her husband may attack have been killed, but maybe not. She doesn't know, because she ran away. She doesn't stick around, because she wants to, if she can leave, because if she can escape, she's running away. Therefore, the first we say a little bit different over here, that Kli Zayin Aleha just means that she's not part of battle. She doesn't have the option of running away. It's not shad, or I say different. She doesn't have the option of sticking around and using her body. We don't say that's the reason why she would stick around. Why would she stick around for that? Rather, it means that she's not scared to be harmed in the battle at all. Because the war back in the day was fought between men. Men and men fought wars. They didn't fight battles, physical battles with women. And therefore, she knows even if she sticks around to the end, not that they're gonna be violate her. Even if she sticks around to the end, they're not gonna harm her. So therefore, she's not scared to stick around to the end. Kli Zayinah just means being that she's a woman, her simon of being a woman, that's her protection. No one's gonna harm her. So therefore, she's not scared to leave. That's what the other version learned this line. But either way, we have no riot to our shayla. Hu gavra. Story time. So the Maisa, we didn't come out with the Pesach. In a case of battle that we didn't know about, and she introduced us that there's battle there, but she says her husband died, is she believed because she introduced us like a migu of giving information, therefore she's believed in total or not? So we leave it unresolved. There's a machlekes in the Mefarshim. The basic Pesach is clearly that she can't get remarried based on this because it's Suffolk. We don't have a Pesach. But if she did get remarried, that's what this machlekes. Some Rishonim say it's a Suffolk. She can't go get remarried, but if she got remarried, she's allowed to stay married because it's fight to her suffix. Once she got married, she wasn't supposed to. She's allowed to stay married. That's some of the Rishonim. That's a Rama Paskins and others. However, the Rush says no, that because it's unresolved and she's, therefore we leave her in the status quo. Status quo is that we have to assume her husband's alive and she's still married. Therefore, she's not allowed to get remarried. And even if she gets remarried, she has to leave that second marriage. He has to go out until we can prove the husband, Taka, died. Story time. There was by a wedding. A guy was at his wedding. He used to have the wedding in the house that they used to gift the chasen kala. So it seems like that's the case over here. They call it the wedding house. The marriage house got destroyed. Maybe it's not, but the point is, where the wedding took place, there was a fire. She came outside the house and she called, see my husband, that he's burning. Also, she didn't want to become an aguna. Also, they saw two things. They saw a body of a man that was totally burnt. You couldn't recognize him. And they also saw a hand that was severed a little bit away from that, the body of the person that was totally charred. This is compared to the case where she says, the bias, they lit the bias on a fire on us. They lit the ma'ara on us. I'm not sure if you had those words before, but the same case we had before, that both the bias or the cave was set on fire in us, and she claimed that she escaped, but the husband didn't, therefore he's dead. And they said, just like you escaped, maybe the husband escaped here too. Just like you escaped, maybe the husband escaped. And therefore, she's not believed to say he's dead. Rav, no, me dumb, how could you compare? Over there, husband, chazugavri. She didn't call out, see my husband burning, see him burning. Over here, she called it out, the people come see. This taka over here, we found a person that's all burnt, and we found a hand of another person severed there. So there's much more evidence that there was actually death there, and she was claiming at the time, look, that's my husband burning, and therefore over here, maybe we should believe her. That was Rav Chiya Bar Avin, a thought to say that we don't believe her. Rav said over here, we should believe her. The Mara defends Rav Chiya Bar Avin, who thought to say you don't believe her. Rav Chiya Bar Avin, he'll say, who says it's the chasen? Yes, it's in the chasen house, which ultimately would, seems like where they would stay. But maybe someone else came to try to save him, and it's the fireman, it's the it's the member that was coming to save him that got burnt up. And furthermore, a piece of didah shadye, and maybe the severed hand was taka the chazan's hand. Nur itzlei, fire caught fire and was caused for it to be severed from his body. This will be muma machbis kesufa azvarik alma and adraba. The reason why he can't find him is because he's ran into hiding. Because he's now deformed, he ran into hiding. So adraba, it's all possible that the husband was still alive and he's the one that lost his arm, but he's still alive. And therefore, Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin felt to say she can't get married. We treat it like the case of they set fire to the cave, set fire to the house. What we said earlier, she's not believed. Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin felt here as well. She said the same thing. Rav argued and Rav said no, that she would be believed because she called out. They found A, they found the body here, and B, she called out. See, was burning. See, was burning. So more reason to believe her over in the other cases. Iba Yalu. Till now we've been discussing about the woman coming back and testifying herself by battle. What about an Eirecha by battle? Is Eirecha going to be by battle? We know an Eirecha coming to testify his husband died, Stamazai, is believed, and really we're going to try to understand what's the logic of that. Is the Eirecha normally believed? Let's see it outside, then we'll see it inside. Is the Eirecha normally believed because we say that Milsa Vidi Gluye, the fact that he's not going to lie about the husband being dead, because if the husband isn't dead, there's a good chance he'll come back alive at some point and prove his Eirecha to be a liar. So something that a person is going to be proven to be a liar, he's not going to lie about, and therefore Eirecha is believed. Or is it because Ishtai Kamitzba, the woman is careful before she gets remarried, and we're trusting the Eirecha in combination, Ishtai Kamitzba. The whole idea of trusting the Eirecha is because of Takana Segunas, that we know. But the point is, what's the power of belief? Is it Mitzad Eirecha himself, or is it in tandem with the Isha being trusted to do proper diligence, to discover that the husband was taka dead? So you buy a little. Eirecha Melchama. So we have a shahal now. What happens if the Eirecha testifies the husband died in a case of Melchama? In wartime. Time of the Eirecha, the reason why Eirecha is normally believed, Mishad the Milsafi the Ligui, Hulam Mishakir, something which is going to be exposed about his lie, it's going to be revealed because the guy is going to come back alive if he's not alive, and the Eirecha will be revealed to be a liar, so he's not going to lie about that, therefore he's believed, Fachanam the Mishakir. Here too, same story. Even if there's a war, if the Eirecha doesn't know for sure the guy's dead, he's not going to really say that he's dead because he'll be proven to be a liar when the guy comes back alive. Ay Dilma, time of the Eirecha is believed normally, is, so in that case, if the logic is the first logic, so he'd be believed in this case too. Ay Dilma, or the logic is, Eirecha is believed, time of the Eirecha because because she's careful, she gets remarried. The Hacha, skip the parentheses. The parentheses 6 in a new svar that we haven't had throughout the Masechta. We've had this idea of her being Dakamintzaba. We never had the svar of sometimes she hates the husband. It's a new svar. Let's take it out of here. The Hacha, like Dakamintzaba. Over here, she's not Medayim before she gets married. Not because she hates it, not like the parentheses saying, but because, she thinks he's dead because of the battle. She presumes he's dead because of the battle, so she won't be Medayim before she gets married so quickly. So now you don't have the power to add to the Eirecha, and therefore the Eirecha won't be believed over here, perhaps. That's the Shaila. Amar Rami Bar Chama. When I went to Nardai to be ma'abr the year, I went to go make a leap year in Nardai. Why do you go to Nardai to make a leap year? L'chari used to make a leap year in Nardai. So I'll jump into the Taisfis over there, second amount of Taisfis. Amar Rabbi Kiva says that the reason over there was that Rabbi Kiva left Yitzchol. There was no one else like him in Yitzchol. So he was the biggest gadol. And he was actually the Gadol Dar, but he's the biggest Gadol. He left Eretz Yisrael. There's no one as great as him in Eretz Yisrael. So he went to go join the forces in Ardoi to have the year. Why in Ardoi Dafka? Why out of Eretz Yisrael? Because it was the time of Gzeira where the Romans were Gzeira against being Ma'abr the year. That's what Rishonim want to say. And therefore, he went to do it specifically out of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but normally he's supposed to do it in Eretz Yisrael. Designate the calendar. Now, so that wasn't really relevant to the story. Masasi Nechemi Ish based out Dli. I found Nechemi Ish based Dli. V'amrili said to me, Shabbati Shem Messina Sisha Be'er Tzol, Be'erechad, El Al Be'erud Membava. I heard that Eretzol, they don't marry a woman on the testimony of Be'erechad, except according to Rebbe Membava. V'nam Tli Kenet V'amr, I said to him, Taka Chu. Amrili, he then said to me, Emla Mishmi, tell the Chamim in Eretz Yisrael, in my name, Atem Yoidim Amadina Zum Shmesh with Geises. You know that this country is full of Geises, like sounds like soldiers, troops. Right? But let it be known through your Bekiva, Kach Bekabani Rabbi Gamil, this Nechemiah Ish based Delhi is telling your Rabbi Kiva, let it be known at Shah, the Kach Bekabani Rabbi Gamil Azakin, Shabbasina Shabbirecha, that we do marry off an Isha of Yerechad. Now, why do you stick in that we're full of battles, full of battalions, of troops? My Medina Mishmash Bekai says, Lav Afagav, the Medina Zu, Mishmash Kach Bekabani, Shabbasina Birechad. The Chor would admit to say was, even though there's battles going on, there's Machama, still we accept Yerechad. Isn't that his point? So it's a right to our Shaila. Amarav Rav says, no. Al Menachemem, so you see Yerechad is believed. Amarav, no. Yachim, Mashem Medina Zu, Kamaka Mishesh Geis Mele. Why do you say, you know that this Medina has geises, as troops, and still, and Eirecha is believed? Just say, even though there's battle going on, Eirecha is believed. You should have made a general statement. What does that do to Medina Zoo? Rather, there must be something different. And therefore, it's not a right to Ashayla. Ela Marava.
Hachamar Nechemish Beis Tel was saying as follows. Adam Yoyim Shemedina Zub Mishpesh Begai says, you know that there's battalions all along in this Medina, and therefore I can't go myself there to Shul to give the message. I can't leave my family members and go to Chumim to give the message about this halacha, the Erech Es Neman. But you can give the message, you're traveling. I have a Kabbalah from Gamil that we do marry off a woman, I'll pee Erechad and give over the testimony to Gamil, but we have no right to Hashayla. Does Erechad get belief even in the time of Muhammad? Tashmas being another ayah. There's a story with Tutum Chamim that were going with Abba Yesi in a boat. They're traveling in a ship with Abba Yesi ben Simai. V'tava and Nebuch, the ship sank. V'si Rabbi Nishuzayim al Pinashim. Rabbi allowed the wives of these Tamid Chamim to get remarried based on women's testimony. Now the Mara says, "Ma'im k'Muhammad Amim." Ma'im is like Muhammad. Ma'im is like dying at war, where we could say the woman's going to assume the people are dead, even if they're not fully dead. They just assume so. So you have the same concern. And who's being believed over here? Nashim. And Nashim, we know Nashim are believed k'Erechad. Nashim are like whenever Erechad is believed, Nashim are believed. But Nashim have the Erechad over the two Edim. For Nashim, I feel male k'Erechad. I mean, I feel male k'Erechad. I mean, even 100 like two Edim is like. Even 100 is like one Ed. Uktani hissi. And Rebbe still let the wives get married. We see very clearly that Erechad is believed even. In a time of Muhammad. It says Marv Tizbara, Maim Shalom Saif Nu. Over there was Maim Shalom Saif, waters that have no end. Maim Shalom Saif Ishta Asura. Halacha is by Maim Shalom Saif, when the waters have no end, the wife's asura, because if you can't see the end of the water, you can't see that maybe the husband came out at a different on a different end. He came out and found a shore at a different side, and he lived. So therefore, they shouldn't be believed. And they could dummy. The army asking to come on. Meaning, the case with this Maim Shein Lev Saif, so no one, the woman certainly should not be believed. I, Rebbe, married off the husbands, the wives, based on this testimony from these women that these Tamid Chamim died. So the case must be, the army asking to come on, Tafameis, for Chazin al Altar. We saw them when they came up dead from the water. The Karmi Simanim, and they gave Simanim, which is going to introduce the next Gemara. They gave Simanim identifying marks on these bodies. We're not being saying about this woman, Mechlal. We're being saying about Simanim. This saying, a person with a simon is dead. Okay, so that was Saimachan. Over there, of course, over there we believe. But in general, B'shas Melchama, we wouldn't necessarily believe in Echad. Just like over there, we wouldn't have believed these group of Nashim that said the husband died, because just because they said he died, it's Maim Shalom Saif, they certainly wouldn't believe. It must be they actually saw a dead body with the simon. That's where they believe. They wasn't going to get into the topic of Simanim. But quickly before that, there's a first one of the Shaila. So we're saying an Ein Echad is not believed, or we have a Shaila, if Ein Echad is believed, B'shas Melchama. First, we discuss, what about Tu'edim? What about Tu'edim, B'shas Melchama? Meaning, if the concern is that people assume that that this Baal died just because he was wounded, even though he wasn't dead yet, and therefore they're going to extrapolate that it must be he's already dead and give false testimony, not on purpose, but false testimony, maybe the concern should even be to aid him. So they want to be a riot, the Mishnah Madaik, our Gemara. It said that even many women are like Ein Echad. Sounds like Ein Echad is not a concern, but had been to aid him. Over there, we wouldn't say a concern about the dummy. We would trust to aid them. Over there, but to aid them, we're not worried about dummy. However, Riff argues. Riff says, once we're worried that people make a mistake and they say, but the dummy, they make their assumptions, the concern will be, even not just by Isha, not just by Echad, it's potentially a concern, even by to aid them. Let's go for another minute or two. We have to stop. It's late. Says the Gemara, who gave Dafkid Shum Shabi Gabi Chavi? This person who deposited a measure of sesame seeds with his friend as a pekadon. Amalei, how did Shum Shabi say? After a time, he said, "Give back my sesame seeds." Amalei, check the do. You took them back already. So the depositor said, "What do you mean? This was the exact amount, and they were placed in such a type of barrel, and that barrel and that amount is still by your possession. So don't tell me it was given back." So the shamer Pekadna said, no, you took yours back. And the ones I have, taku with that measure, with that similar barrel, are different ones. I gave yours back, and I replaced similar ones, similar amount that belonged to me. So Rav Chizla thought to say, this is the case of Tzutim Nechamim that were on the ship, that Rebbe assumed that the bodies were the same ones because they were simanim. You don't say that the bodies of the Tutum Mechamim, those are gone, and there were still other people that died with the Tutum Mechamim, they lived, and the bodies that we see with those markers are other people with the same markers. You don't say that. Rather, you say that it must be the same Tutum Mechamim that died, so to here, it must be the same barrel, and it belongs to the person that deposited the Bekadin. That's what Rev Chizda thought to say. You don't say that the original ones are gone, these Tamid Chamim, and these are new people in their place. You don't say the original barrel is gone, and there's a new one. You say it's the original one. I'm like, Rabbi, no. Me dummy. Over there they said Simanim, whereas Hachashushi, my Simanim Islu. Now, really, I should explain this before. When it comes to the parashah of Simanim, there's two types of Simanim. There's what we call Simanim Mavuk, a unique identifying identifying mark that's unique. And then there's simanim there we call simanim beinani. Those aren't so as unique, meaning, yes, it's a simon that this item happened to have. Somebody else could have the same simon. Not every item like this has that simon, but somebody else could also have that same simon. Or as opposed to a unique simon that we don't know if anyone else has that same simon. So it says the Gemara, how could you compare? Essentially, Gemara's answer is, Haskar, simon over there by the bodies, there was simonim of Hakim. Hachashoshim, simonim. So what thing? Let's go over the simonim over here. The Gemara, Chanavi, the measure. Many often people have similar measurements to the same type of product. You can have similar measurements in different. Many people use the same quantities. And furthermore, you can say it just happened. Even if it's not common, it just happened to have the same amount. And the barrel, people have similar containers, similar barrels. You have no real clear simon. Yes, the amount is sort of a simon, but it's not enough of a simon. So we didn't get too far. We have to stop over here a little early. But just to point out, our Gemara seems to be saying that amount is not a good simon. The Gemara in Bamatzia by an Aveda seems to suggest that the amount can be a good simon, and the basic chiluk of Rashi discusses that perhaps there's a chiluk between aveda and pekadon. By aveda, maybe a simon as such, like an amount, is enough. Either way, by pekadon, you need a stronger simon. A simon would have to be better than an amount. The puzzle here, a good chiddush, pick up tomorrow, Hashem. We'll have to catch up on Friday.